started in here.
To your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew, that man over there wearing Star Wars shirt number 4. I have them all numbered now. Is John Justice in there pushing all of our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855 is the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha Sansevier.
Good morning.
On the show today, Fox News contributor Katie Pavlich will join us just after 8:30. I'm always looking forward to having Katie on. We haven't had her on for a couple of weeks, but there was a protest that took place. Thankfully, her speech, her lecture at the University of Wisconsin went off on Tuesday without a hitch, despite some protesting that took place outside. What I find really interesting about that particular protesting that took place was the nature of the protests against her, especially in light of the mainstream media story and the continued daily fallout of the media mogul Harvey Weinstein, right? At a time now where, sexual assault, groping, alleged rape against women is top story on a lot of media outlets. And you even have individuals who, like Ben Affleck, who are having to come out now and basically defend something that may have happened and been caught on video back in the 90s on MTV. And yet, at the University of Wisconsin, you have individuals that are protesting Katie Pavlich talking about guns and using sex as a means to go and protest her speaking there.
Yep, and this is why I have decided I will no longer take seriously any outrage over alleged sexual assault and things like that, because when it happens on one side, they shrug it off and deny it and say it's no big deal or they're complicit in the cover-up. But then when it happens on the other side where you think you can score a point, it's like, oh, this is disgusting. This behavior should not be tolerated by anybody.
Well, and that was what we talked about. If you missed it yesterday, we had SC Cup from HLN and CNN on the show, and you can listen to it in the second half of the 8 o'clock hour podcast on the iHeart radio app. For your phone. But we were talking to her, and one of the first questions that I had with the allegations against Harvey Weinstein was, and we said this to her, not being a woman, never having been in that situation, like a woman would have been with Weinstein, I can't relate. I don't understand why the women may not have come forward when the incident occurred. And Essie was very quick to say there's a lot of very good reasons why they wouldn't.
Absolutely.
And then she went a step further. She says, but the bigger issue is, why has Hollywood kept it silent for so long? So to what you're saying, I'm with you. The outrage around it, I just can't take it. I can't take it seriously because there's so much hypocrisy going on.
So many of the people that were complicit in covering up or just ignoring Harvey Weinstein's apparently very open behavior.
Right.
The worst kept secret in Hollywood were some of the loudest voices when the allegations against Donald Trump happened during the campaign.
We have a lot of Trump news today. Maybe in a sense, he knows how the national debt and the stock market works, or maybe not in a sense.
I'm worried he's going to sell the stock market.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Can you do that?
I'm worried he's going to barter the stock market to pay off the U.S. debt.
If you missed the comments on Hannity, we'll have to grab the audio for him so we can play him and talk about him. He tried to make the assertion that, because the stock market has been doing so well, and yet we had borrowed so much money, that essentially we had been paying down the debt because of the stock market, and those two aren't aren't connected. I love the way he talks, though, because he does. He always gives himself an escape hatch. You know, well, in a sense, shoulder shrug, palms up, head tilt, depending on how you look at it. If you don't really understand how this stuff works, sure.
Right.
It's paying down the national debt.
Right. I mean, we eventually, as a country, are going to get to the point where we're not going to take his word so literally. Because we never, ever, ever should.
No, of course not.
He's on. There's a Chiron up on Fox News right now that I'm looking at, and I see it, and I shake my head. It's it just went away. It says, Trump, you can't disrespect our country. Well, I mean, yeah, you can.
Right.
Because we got this, like, First Amendment thing.
Right.
And you can't, you know, you're not saying you should.
Right.
Not saying I'll agree with you.
Let me help you out here. It's all an inflection.
But Mr. Trump, yes, you can.
Right. So, but what if when he wrote it, like, mentally, it was this. It was, you can't disrespect the country.
You can't do that.
See?
Come on.
See?
Come on.
See, it's all context. hey, real quick, out of Care 11, the Minneapolis Supreme Court has reversed the impaired driving convictions of a woman. Okay, this is interesting. They've reversed the impaired driving convictions of a woman who was found slumped over in her car on three occasions. Okay. Four. Sam, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Allegedly inhaling compressed air from a can.
Oh, okay.
Huffing and driving will not get you a DUI.
It should. It should. Did somebody tell the Minnesota Supreme Court that? Because it should.
The majority acknowledged the decision means a driver who is dangerously intoxicated by DFE isn't criminally liable, but they say it's up to the legislature to fix that. Well, so are we going to have a law passed that says if you're huffing and driving, it's a DUI?
Apparently. DFE is difluoroethane. That's the chemical in the can that some people, it's not smart people.
Right. It's the Whippets thing, right? Is it different from the cream charger hits?
I'm not positive, but I don't think that DFE is what's in the compressed air. Maybe it is. I don't know, but I think it's different.
All right, well, Sam. At some point during the break today, we need to get a can of compressed air.
No,
and then we need to get a can of whipped cream.
No, God, please, no.
And then,
no,
we'll be slumped over the console here.
Well, not us. We'll have Sam do it. She can tell us if it's the same thing.
I'm gonna say no.
You won't huff for the show.
I'm really dedicated, but I don't think I'm that dedicated.
Fine.
I'm not like huffing dedicated.
All right. Have you been dedicated enough to scour the internet this morning?
I have.
All right.
Find the top five stories that are floating Sam's boat. We'll bring you them next, right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
You're listening.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855. Now, during the show, you can use the hashtag TCNT to talk to us. You can also use the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT if, starting next week, on Thursday, a week from today, you want us to bring tasty Tim Hortons and Timbits to your office.
Yep, just use the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT. Tell us why you would like us to deliver some coffee and some Timbits from Tim Hortons to your office. And for every entry, we'll do a random drawing early next week. We'll pick an office, and we'll be there on Thursday. Get your office mates to take part in it as well.
We'll get to Sam's Top 5 in just a moment. Scientists are using today's, Drew, asteroid flyby. You had an asteroid flying by today?
Yeah, it was a house-sized asteroid, almost, came very, very close to hitting the Earth. Yeah,
okay, but, like, what kind of house? Like a big house?
Yeah.
This is very broad measurement.
Like a $150,000 house, are we talking about? A $350,000 house?
Are we talking about a $300
house? One of those new tiny homes?
Yeah, we're talking about a tiny house.
Right. Like, those are super trendy.
Yeah. You know what? No matter what size house
it is. Is it a mobile home?
It would still kill you.
They used our international warning network. Okay, here you go, Sam. You ready? The space rock, estimated to be about 50 to 100 feet in size, made its approach over Antarctica early this morning. The experts say it posed no risk to the impact of Earth. But we were using our new tracking system. Here's my point in this whole thing, Drew, is that, you know, with the huffing and driving, you know, story where you can, right? you can essentially not get busted for a DUI. If people are actually huffing and driving, maybe we should figure out a way to use technology to actually push the asteroid into in line with Earth.
Okay, yeah.
You, right. Maybe we should actually figure out a way to steer it.
Thin the herd.
To actually hit little, the planet.
A little bit.
If people are actually taking to huffing.
Right.
Maybe we
could figure out a way to like use the DFEs, the chemicals in the canisters.
That's right.
As like an asteroid attractant.
I like that. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying. We don't have to, I don't care if we're told. We don't have to be told. Oh, sorry, this one's heading right for us.
Whoops.
Whoops. All right. Yeah. Well, let's have a party, everybody. Asteroids are coming. 651-989-5855. Right now, Sam's top five's coming.
Sam has scoured the internet, compiled the top five stories that are floating her boat. We'll get right into Sam's top five for a Thursday.
Number one.
Some strong winds are whipping up new terror in the deadly California wildfires. From the Associated Press, fueled by the return of strong winds, the wildfires tearing through California wine country exploded in size and number yesterday as authorities ordered new evacuations and the death toll climbed to 21, a figure expected to rise higher still. 3 days after the fires began, firefighters were still unable to gain control of the blazes that had turned entire northern California neighborhoods to ash and destroyed at least 3,500 homes and businesses.
When we talked about this earlier in the week, that number was 1,500, wasn't it? The number
yes.
Of homes. I think
yes,
was that it just
was.
Yesterday?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah, yesterday or the day before yesterday.
The entire historic town of Calistoga, population 5,000, was evacuated. In neighboring Sonoma County, authorities issued an evacuation advisory for part of the town of Sonoma and the community of Boys Hot Springs. By that time, lines of cars were already fleeing. When a deputy sheriff warned a resident of the area, Nick Hinman, that the driving winds could shift the wildfires towards the town of Sonoma proper, with 11,000 residents, he said, "That's very bad. It'll go up like a candle."
Paul Ryan, there was a House press conference yesterday, and Paul Ryan was talking about the disaster relief that Congress was going to be giving to the areas that have been ravaged by the hurricanes, and he also included, and I was glad that he did, the situation with the wildfires, and the argument that he was making was that you've got a tax base wiped out, and so when you've got a tax base wiped out, that's when the federal government can step in and provide some relief, and to double down on the comments we made earlier, and I was just talking about this with Melinda last night because they had the story in passing, is that we are so selective in the disasters that we give an abundance of attention to. The area that is being devastated right now in California, okay, it is a very affluent area, but it's also, we're talking tourist destinations. These are beautiful. This is beautiful country and country that relies on tourism, and a big part of the economy in that part of California relies on these areas, and they're just getting, you got 21 people dead and the number's going to go up, and yet the coverage, it is so small.
It really is.
And there's, I haven't seen
if this were near
any relief
other,
efforts.
If this were nearly any other type of natural disaster, it would be absolutely dominating our coverage.
Yeah, we're so selective.
It's weird.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, you can sit there and try to psychoanalyze reasons why this is sort of flying under our collective radar, but it's a number of reasons, and it's really strange. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I really do think it boils down to that subconscious part of individuals, and I don't fault people for it, but you just go California, wine country, mm-hmm. fire, and it because of years of not having a ton of coverage when that happens, it just does. There's something doesn't click, right? To have people go, this is what we need to turn our attention to.
Number two.
Trump and Mattis are teaming up to refute NBC's nuke report and are blasting the disgusting press. From Fox News, President Trump and Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis yesterday publicly refuted an NBC News report that claimed the commander-in-chief wanted to drastically increase the U.S. nuclear arsenal, with Trump calling the press disgusting. On the sidelines of a meeting in the Oval Office with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Trump slammed the NBC report that said he sought a nearly tenfold increase in the nuclear arsenal during a summer meeting. Trump told reporters, frankly, it's disgusting that the press is able to write whatever it wants to write, and people should look into it. I never discussed increasing the nuclear arsenal. That is fake news by NBC, which gives a lot of fake news recently. He continued to slam the press for allegedly making up sources, saying there are no sources. Mattis issued a brief statement shortly afterwards, saying recent reports that the president called for an increase in the U.S. nuclear arsenal are absolutely false. This kind of erroneous reporting is irresponsible.
Yeah, this is one of those stories. I saw the headline and kind of furrowed my brows, like, he wants a tenfold increase in the nuclear arsenal. That's odd.
Right.
I wonder why. And If it is indeed fake, and I have no reason to think that it's not, you know, I'm sure NBC got the information from somewhere, from someone. But if it is indeed fake, what a weird story to put out there. Like, usually there's some sort of agenda behind, you know, this reporting, behind these anonymous sources that leak false information to the press. What could possibly be the agenda of trying to convince people that Trump wanted more nuclear weapons?
Well, and it was the response from the administration, at least in my view, clearly showed that this story was absolutely fake. I mean, they came out adamant. Hard, yeah, adamant about it. It did or spark.
Maybe they doth protest too much.
There was
one of those incidents.
Come on, Trump, you sound a little defensive here.
There was
one of those.
There was a lot of individuals taking issue with the press shouldn't be able to. It's disgusting. They could write whatever they want, and people saying, "Well, he's trying to curb free speech." And it's like, no. No, you don't.
It's just expressing frustration.
Exactly. And there was we can get into it a little bit later on, and we will. But the idea when he made a comment about the licensing and again, to me, because I speak Trump, because he talks in talk show speak. We already have a mechanism in place and mechanisms in place to hold media outlets accountable for false reporting. And that's what that's where my mind jumps to when he makes those general comments like we should look at their licensing. Well, yeah, if they've done something that violates
right
whatever is there to hold them accountable, then yes, of course we absolutely should.
But yeah, you're right. But they've got to cross that line of actually violating the terms of the license, and you know, getting a story wrong or trusting a source that lied to you is not a violation of your FCC license.
Right
I mean, it's just not.
He
was expressing frustration. He wasn't trying to, you know, again, like we said earlier, and like we've said a number of times, you got to stop taking him so literally.
Yeah, that's what got him elected. I also think that real quick, it's not in the story, but I think that this report is attached to also the one that we had yesterday in the top five on the whole war room situation. I think that these were all... This was all sort of lumped together, and that was reported in multiple sources talking about how they had a war room meeting and they were drafting a plan for North Korea, and I think they were all connected in some way.
Number three.
Haunted by 1992, the St. Paul Winter Carnival has canceled their Super Bowl Ice Palace. And people are sad about it. From the Pioneer Press, the specter of the financially ruinous 1992 Ice Palace still haunts St. Paul's Winter Carnival, noting that the palace, built on Harriet Island for the 1992 Super Bowl, nearly sunk the century-old festival. This year's organizers called off a planned supersized Ice Palace to coincide with the Super Bowl. Ice Cold Events, the group set up to fund and build the Ice Palace, said yesterday it was unable to... Ice Cold Events.
I'm sorry. Just the name is so on the nose.
They have a very specific window of time that they can actually do any business, though.
Ice Cold Events. That is what we do. I apologize. I didn't mean to throw you off.
That's okay. This group is set up to fund and build the Ice Palace. Said yesterday that it was unable to raise the $5 million needed to guarantee the costs of building and operating the structure would be covered. The Ice Palace was to be built with private donations on the Minnesota Capitol grounds. Organizers initially hoped to raise as much as $15 million for this pile
that's an
of ice.
Expensive ice castle.
That is.
That's a lot of
really
water.
Expensive ice castle.
Yeah. What happens when it melts? Would you have to cart it all away? Otherwise, you got a big puddle.
It just melts.
It melts, but then you have so much water.
I know.
What happens? That's a lot of water.
I know. It's like what happens if it rains?
No, but I mean, it's right on like the Capitol lawn.
What happens?
Just let it all melt away.
Yeah. Are we going to haul away all that snow outside?
But that's a lot. It turns into a lot of water. It's going to flood the Capitol.
Why don't you reach out to Ice Cold Events and see what their contingency plan
maybe
was.
That was part of their concern.
Like, right. You guys laugh, but I have so many questions.
But it's just... It goes where all water goes when it's... It just goes.
It's mud and slush. This is awful. Sorry. I'm sorry. I apparently have worries that no one else does.
Yes. It would appear so.
The executive director of Ice Cold Events said, what we wanted to do at the end of the day is be financially sound. We really needed a title sponsor. That was something that was really important to us.
Oh, wait. You know, it all makes sense now, Drew.
I could use a title sponsor.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah.
Every time we've gone to offer ice to Sam for her glass, she's always pushed it away. Now I don't trust ice. Now I can. Where's it supposed to go in my glass?
That's different, John. You're drinking that water. It doesn't appear anyone else is picking up the baton in St. Paul or Minneapolis, where the Super Bowl will be played February 4th at US Bank Stadium. Michael Howard, spokesman for the Super Bowl host committee, said there are no specific plans for an ice palace.
I smell an opportunity.
You do?
Justice and Drew Ice Palace.
We did build a snow fort in our front yard.
You got $15 million?
No, it'll be a small one.
No, man, I'm going to spend that much.
Yeah.
Do it for a fraction of that.
Just put it on a big table.
I'll grab my little plastic, you know, the thing to make the snow bricks. And we'll build our own little
little igloo.
Yeah, it'll have like a little ice couch.
Yeah.
A little ice TV.
Absolutely. You know. I'm down with that.
The former St. Paul mayor, George Latimer, said that he was disappointed by the news and recalled the volunteer efforts of hundreds of St. Paul builders in the construction of the 1986 Ice Palace. He said, I'm very sad because obviously it's a great piece of history. When I read about the financial need for the 2018 effort, I found that off-putting.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, there's no information in the story about how much these earlier ice palaces cost, right? They said the 1992 one was financially ruinous, and then they referenced the 1986 one. But
they didn't give any specific numbers. I'd imagine it I'm assuming that this one for that they were hoping to build now was much, 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 much bigger.
Or just the cost of building an ice palace has increased.
Maybe. Apparently can get pricey.
But this is what, nobody come and rescue it on a government level. Let's just say that now, because I know.
Doesn't appear to be any effort.
Dayton's going to be like, ooh, yeah, ice.
Right? It's sad for people that wanted it, but this is what happens. You know, when private donations can't come in, then the things shouldn't go forward. Right. There obviously wasn't a big enough demand for it.
That's like all art.
That's how.
Should work.
Good point.
Number 4.
The Boy Scouts are going to admit girls now and allow them to earn Eagle Scout ranks. From NBC News, the Boy Scouts of America announced yesterday that girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and to earn the coveted rank of Eagle Scout, the organization's highest honor. A chief executive of the Boy Scouts said, "We believe it is critical to evolve how our programs meet the needs of families interested in positive and lifelong experiences for their children."
One thing has become, at least in my opinion, very clear about this particular story is that I'm beginning to believe this. Unless you have children in the Boy Scouts, and I'll say currently because Logan was involved in the Boy Scouts as well, this is one of those issues that don't take it on face value, because I've seen many people, including a lot of friends of the show, who are like, hey, this has been going on for a while, and we're cool with this, and we're good with this. And the Girl Scouts are not doing what I would like my daughter to be doing, and the Boy Scouts have been fine with this on a number of different levels. But I see people who are doing the knee jerk. Oh, it's more, you know, the diversity, and it's like, no, you know, if you're not in it, this is one of the circumstances you should probably just back away and let those that are directly involved have the say.
And I this was a while ago, but I was in Girl Scouts for a couple years, I think. I don't remember learning anything. I remember selling cookies.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Scout experience and the Boy Scout experience are very, very different things.
And that's not to say that it's not a valuable experience, because I'm sure there's things that I just don't remember because I was really little. But I don't remember going outside, doing things, learning things about nature.
Right, right. If you have a daughter that is interested in certain types of experiences, going out, camping, nature, things like that, the Boy Scouts is probably a better fit.
If you have a five-year-old that's interested in learning about sales, it's perfect.
Right. The complaint, and I don't know, I've never been involved with any Girl Scouts. My daughter was in it when she was very, very, very young, but it was more of her and her mom thing. I had nothing to do with it. But the complaint that I've commonly heard from parents of Girl Scouts, so take that for,
sure.
Take that at face value, it is that it has become mostly just about the cookie experience. They're not doing a whole lot of other stuff beyond that.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying that's the complaint that I've frequently heard. But the Boy Scout experience is very different. And the Boy Scouts are fine with it. Most parents are fine with it. So I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I mean, business-wise, it just opens them up to just like 50% or whatever more people. The Scouting Board of Directors voted unanimously to make the historic change in an organization that has been primarily for boys since its founding more than 100 years ago. Starting next year, young girls can join Cub Scout units known as dens. Local scouting organizations can choose to have dens for girls and dens for boys. The organization said in a statement, Cub Scout dens will be single gender, all boys or all girls. A separate program for older girls will be available in 2019, according to the Boy Scouts, enabling them to earn the rank of Eagle Scout. The Boy Scouts said the moves reflect the changing nature of American life, adding to the appeal of a scouting program that can serve the entire family.
Yeah. The one question I have is I wonder how far down the road it'll be until it gets a bit of rebranding. And I was reading quite a few. The threads were really, really fascinating on this on Facebook yesterday from individuals that I know who have children in the Boy Scouts and have had, you know, boys and girls, getting back to all the things that we were just talking about. And I wonder how long it'll be until the Boy Scouts gets a bit of a rebranding to have it be a little bit more all encompassing. But from everything that I read, I did not read a single comment from anybody in the Boy Scouts directly who didn't like this idea or hadn't already had experience with it. Right. I did see a lot of comments saying that the Girl Scout experience was largely contingent on that individual group they were with.
Yeah.
Like, if the scout leader for the Girl Scouts was solid, there were some people saying, well, we had an amazing experience with our Girl Scouts.
But, I'm sure it's not universal.
But by and large, they were... But to go back again... Unfortunately, I also saw a lot of people that were doing the knee-jerk reaction to it, and it was.
I don't think this is part of the big culture war,
right?
I think this is. There's a few factors in play here. The Boy Scouts are dealing with drops in enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some stories and some comments along those lines, and this is. Right, I'm sure, at least in part, you know, an effort to get more people involved in the Boy Scouts organization. I think the part of it is a frustration with the direction the Girl Scouts have gone in recent years.
Yeah.
There's a number of factors at play here, but I don't feel like this is part of the big culture war that.
I think they'll eventually go. It's the Boy and Girl Scouts of America, or just the Scouts of America. I bet at some
eventually,
point that's where we're going to end up landing.
Let's wrap up Sam's top five on the other side. We'll get the fifth story that is floating Sam's boat right after this.
Justice.
Getting ready to wrap up Sam's top five for a Thursday here on Justice and Drew. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Coming up later in the show, we will talk to Katie Pavlich just after 8:30. But now let's get to the fifth story that is floating Sam's boat this morning.
Number five.
A boy band from a Minnesota school dance competition. And his group might sue.
A boy band.
Yeah, I read. I heard boy band too.
Okay, sorry. Let's redo that.
That's all right.
A boy was banned. A single boy was banned from a Minnesota school dance competition, and his group might sue. From the Pioneer Press, a nonprofit legal foundation is threatening to sue the Minnesota State High School League on behalf of a 15-year-old boy who was barred from participating in a girls' high school dance championship last December. Johnson, a sophomore, attends Northwestern Wisconsin Superior High School, which allows him to participate in the dance team. But the team from a remote area of Wisconsin competes against teams from Minnesota, where only girls are allowed to dance competitively. He said in a phone interview, "Dancing is something I love to do." He said the judges at the competition don't care whether you're a boy or a girl. They just focus on how you do the routine. Attorney,
it does seem like a quite a double standard here.
It really does.
Because
really
we've seen a lot of stories about girls competing in boy sports. And most of the time, it seems like people are just sort of shrugging their shoulders and go, okay.
Well, there's a girl...
If you're good enough to compete, if you're good enough to make the team on your own merits, then cool.
There's a girl on Buffalo's football team.
Right.
It's super cool.
Sometimes you just gotta dance.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes the music moves you.
Attorney Joshua Thompson of the Pacific Legal Foundation says the treatment amounts to discrimination.
It appears to.
Yeah. He said it's a classification based on the 1970s ideals of what boys should be doing and what girls should be doing. The Pacific Legal Foundation wants the high school league to allow any boy in Minnesota to dance competitively. In the letter,
must dance! Judge me on my dancing.
This is a very serious sport.
I'm a peacock. Let me fly.
You guys. See, now you're just making a mockery.
It's not a sport. It's a performance competition. Yeah. There's a difference.
And I'm not making a mockery. Of the two dudes in the room, I'm the one who went out to the club. Of the two of us to go dancing with my buddies.
In this young man's defense, your club dancing is very, 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 very different from what he's
You look like you were
shadow
boxing.
Neither of you have seen my club dancing, so you are not in any position to cast judgment upon my dance floor skills.
You know, I really don't think I need to.
I got a mean moonwalk. I'm telling you. I do it right.
Yeah. I always default to the kickworm.
In a letter, the Pacific Legal Foundation said the high school's classification...
You're supposed to swallow,
Laura. I'm sorry, the high school league's... classification of dance as a girls-only sport is an unconstitutional violation of the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. The letter said, your classification expressly discriminates on the basis of sex and critically does so without justification. There is simply no justification for perpetuating discrimination against boy dancers.
I tend to agree.
I totally agree. This
is not one of those competitions where a boy is going to have any sort of distinct advantage.
Right.
You know, it's not like a strength comp, you know, a sport or a competition where physical strength is going to give you an edge over somebody else. This is purely just sort of a skills-based competition, so I don't see why it shouldn't be completely blind to gender.
No, you're 100% right, and this is before you go and say anything, because I know I'm going to open up a door. Okay, but Melinda watches So You Think You Can Dance like religiously. She loves that show, and so I've watched a couple of full seasons along with her. And Drew, you're absolutely right when it comes to the level of skill and what they're being judged by. You know, the sort of the gender issues are not a factor in this.
Superior High School does not limit their dance team to girls. At the Lake Superior Conference Dance Championship, officials followed the Minnesota rules, which do not allow male dancers. Johnson, a freshman who made the Superior varsity team and was the only boy on the team, had to sit on the sidelines for that competition. Or, I'm sorry, that championship.
There are sidelines in a dance competition?
Yes, Drew, there are.
Is there a field?
No. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I think it's a figure of speech.
Instead of saying off to the side, sidelines.
Had to sit on the bench.
If the high school league...
Ride the pine. Hold the clipboard. Who's the water boy?
If the high school league does not rescind its policy, the Pacific Legal Foundation said in a news release, it will challenge it on Caden's behalf to vindicate his constitutional right to be treated equally regardless of his gender.
All right, so here's a question for you. This is spinning off of this, but not necessarily
well done,
related
Sam.
To the dance. Nice job.
Thank you.
Stellar top five.
Thank you.
Do you?
Let's go dance.
Yeah, okay. You peacocks can go fly right on it.
Was one of my, Drew, before I get to my question, it was one of my favorite Dane Cook bits. He does a whole bit about going out with his buddies to the club. And how you never see a dude go to another dude on a Friday night and go, I just got to dance tonight.
You guys want to go dancing?
I just need to go to no girls tonight. I just need to go and express myself through the art of dance. Where the dudes get in a circle on the dance floor and they all toss their wallets in the middle and they dance around. Love that bit. No, the question I have, though, is do you think that moving forward, like for in generations, with all of the... with all the news stories and the different controversies, when it comes to, you know, states' constitutional rights, rules when it comes to schools, fights like this. Do you think that the generation growing up in this litigation culture that we're in is going to be better equipped to deal with issues when we get older? Do you think they're going to be smarter because of it?
Probably not. Yeah, I hope.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, there's so many of these types of stories where here on a side note, apart from this dude's dancing,
right,
he's also getting a lesson in how to work through dealing with these types of issues and rules. And
yeah,
that's actually a really fascinating angle for it, because give it a couple years and then all these things will already be passed through, and I mean, people might take it for granted a little bit. There might be boys at the competitions that just don't know that maybe a few years ago they wouldn't have been able to do that.
When I was young, I couldn't dance. They wouldn't let me dance. We paved the way for you young boys.
I didn't know that the Minnesota State High School League didn't allow boys in their dance competitions. I mean, cheerleading, you can have boys on your team.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since Footloose.
You guys' jokes are so lame. You guys, this is just dad joke central right now.
I was referencing OG Footloose. Let me just for the sake of Kevin Bacon, right. Kevin Bacon Footloose, right, just for the sake of argument.
Not that terrible remake.
No. I just wasn't that bad.
Jennifer Hopper's in it. You don't think any movie is that bad?
That's not true. That's not true at all. I did not care for Get Out. So, you know, there's one.
That was actually good.
You're like the only person that I've heard say that.
out of Fox News. This is interesting. Chicago's soda tax got repealed.
Yeah.
The Cook County Board voted unanimously yesterday to repeal the Chicago area county's controversial soda tax after public backlash to the penny per ounce charge. Again, I love how they just, a penny an ounce, that'll work. Let's just do that. Let's just do that.
That's just arbitrary.
Just do penny an ounce. Yeah.
And again, that went to like nothing relevant.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with the Airbnb regulations. Like, the general idea behind taxation is you look at it like a user fee when you're taxing specific items like this. It's all right. You know, okay, you're going to help pay for some of the infrastructure that went into getting this item to market, getting it to, you know, the place where you can buy it. There was no justification for a soda tax other than we think people probably shouldn't be drinking so much soda.
Yeah. It's like, where's that money going to go? Which, over there. What do you mean? Okay, you're not going to have it anymore.
Right. We're going to have it.
We'll have it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put it over there.
Do whatever we want
Once
with it.
Once it's ours, I can just put it wherever I want.
Low tax advocates cheered the decision as a blow to the nanny state crusade, doing that thing with my fingers, in Cook County, which includes Chicago, the largest jurisdiction in the country with the soda tax. If there is one city America's tax and spenders should be able to muscle through the latest tax fad, it would be Chicago. And yet, in this tax and spend Democrat-run city, consumers forced the city council to cough up their recent tax hike and repeal the soda tax, according to Grover Norquist, president of the Anti-Tax Americans for Tax Reform. Now, Wednesday's vote would nix the soda tax, which only recently went into effect by December. Proponents of the tax claimed it would improve public health by discouraging the purchase of sugary drinks, which have been connected to the health issues like obesity. But critics argued it hurt retailers and low-income residents particularly hard. And take that and apply it to some of the ridiculous bans that have put forward and the issues that we've been dealing with here, whether it's the menthol cigarettes, whether it's the age range. We have a story later on this morning out of St. Paul where they actually are delaying, at least for now, the container ban that they were looking at. You're going to see, I mean, at least in my opinion, in the future.
You're starting to see some blowback.
Yeah, and when those things go into effect, I would not be surprised to see a similar story like this happen locally.
You can be encouraged by some of the blowback, but at the same time, you can be discouraged because it only seems to happen on the most frivolous of items.
Yep.
You know, it only happens like soda tax. You know, people, you mess with my soda, now all of a sudden I care. Healthcare, go ahead and jack that whole thing up. Go ahead and ruin the entire healthcare market, whatever, but don't mess with my soda.
651-989-5855. Coming up, we got several items about Donald Trump. One out of the Associated Press about GOP senators, and this is according to Laura Ingraham's book, laughing out loud at the notion of a border wall. And today, we are expecting President Trump to sign an executive action to allow individuals to pool together for health insurance, to buy across state lines.
Purchase across state lines, that's big.
And a lot of people are saying that this is what we've been talking about, that this was the sort of the workaround to the lack of Congress getting anything done. So we'll give you all the details on that coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.5.